Parshas Pinchas, this week's Parsha, begins in the middle of the story. After not being successful in cursing the Jews last week, Bilam has another awful suggestion. He tells Balak, the king of Moab, "We can't destroy the Jews. We can't destroy them physically because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on their side. We can't destroy them spiritually, meaning I can't curse them because Hashem is not letting me curse them. So there's only one thing we can do. We can't destroy them, but we can get them to destroy themselves. How?" He says that what we have to do is send women out. And these women are going to act promiscuously in front of the men, and they will seduce the men to sin with them. And the God of the Jews hates immorality. And furthermore, once they get the men to sin with them, they'll convince the men to serve Avodah Zarah as well. And indeed, this is what happens. This plan succeeded beyond Midian and Moab's dreams, because it wasn't just the regular people of Klal Yisrael that fell into this trap. Zimri, the Nasi of Shimon, the leader of the tribe of Shimon, he also fell into it, and he publicly committed his sin. Many people started to die. Hashem sends a plague, and 24,000 people of Klal Yisrael die at this point from this terrible sin that they did. And when Pinchas sees that Zimri is sinning publicly, he takes his spear and he kills Zimri and his partner Cosby, who was the daughter of came from Midian, but she was actually a princess from Midian. As a reward for his actions, our parsha begins with Hashem promising Pinchas Brisi Shalom. He's going to get the promise of peace, which is a very valuable promise, especially for someone who did an act of kana'os, who came out with a vengeance. Hashem says, "I know that his motives were pure." He gets peace. He also gets to be a kohen, which is interesting because he was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen, which means that we would think he should be a kohen anyways already, except that when Aaron became a kohen, only his descendants who are going to be born after him become kohanim. And because Pinchas was already born by the time that Aaron became a kohen, he didn't naturally become a kohen. And so now he gets this extra gift. You are not going to be only a Levi, you are also going to be a Kohen. Indeed, today many of the Kohanim are able to somehow trace their lineage back to Pinchas. That's the story, and this is the headline story of this week's Parsha. But there's a side detail in this story that teaches us a valuable lesson. When describing who this Cosby was, this princess from Midian was, the Pasuk tells us that she was Cosby Bas Tzor, Reish Umais Beis Av B'Midian. This Tzur, the father of Cosby, was the head of all the important people of Midian. She wasn't just the daughter of one of the kings of Midian. She was the daughter of the king of Midian. He was the most important of all the kings of Midian. However, later on, when these kings, there were five kings of Midian, are going to get killed, this Tzur comes in third. The Pasuk says, Vesmalche Midian Hargu al Chalaleim, they killed the kings of Midian. And who are the kings of Midian? Es Evi, Ves Rechem, Ves Tzor, Ves Chor, Ves Reva, Chameshes Malche Midian. And the question is, here he's listed third, meaning in our Pasuk, in this week's Parsha, it tells us that he was Reish Umay Spesav B'Midian. He was the head, he was the most important king. And now he's going down to number three. Rashi tells us that the reason he goes down to number three, yes, indeed, he was the head king. He was the most important king. But once he debased himself, he embarrassed himself by being mafker his daughter, by sending his daughter to do such a terrible thing, even though she was very successful in what she did, meaning she managed to seduce not just anyone, but the Nasi of Shimon. But how could you as a king send your daughter to do such a thing? He loses his position as the most important, and he falls down to the third level. He is now the third out of the five kings. He is no longer the most important. Rav Bloch in Shiur Das asks an obvious question. Why does anyone care? Do we care that he's now three? Does Tzor care that he's three? Is this really a punishment for him that he's written third in our Torah? Does it matter to him? He's dead, meaning he's a dead king now. So does it matter that we notice now that instead of being the Reish Umay Space of Midian, he is now comes after Evi and Rechem, and he's the third? And Rav Bloch answers by saying that if we can ask this question, it shows that we have a total lack of understanding of what eternity means. What is eternity? We don't understand the eternal reality of our neshamas and our worlds that continue long after death, and the impact on any soul, on any person, of being put third in the Torah, which is forever. We don't understand consequences like this. We understand losing a war or becoming sick or losing our money. We don't understand the foreverness, the eternity of something written in the Torah. And if we understood it, we wouldn't ask this question. Of course it matters that he's third. It matters forever. Another example that comes to mind is that when Avram wanted to buy the plot of land, which was going to become Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, from Ephron. First, Ephron said to him, "No, I don't need money from you. We're friends. Just take the land. I don't want to take money from the sale." But when Avram pushed him, he asked for an exorbitant fee. And at that point, when it's describing his what he's asking for, his name was written Ephron without a vav. Because, Chazal say, this is an example of a person, Emor Harbei, he spoke a lot, Vafilu Ma'at Le'asa, and he didn't even do anything. He didn't even do a little. Meaning he didn't say, "Let's set a fair price," and then he set a fair price. He said, no, don't pay me. And then he asked for a tremendous amount of money. So as a punishment, his name is written without a vav to show us that he's stingy. And again, we marvel at his punishment. So what? So he lost the vav in his name. Who cares? He cares. I care. We care. Who cares? Who cares about the vav in Ephron's name? Our first reaction is, our first reaction is, so what? But if we think about it a little bit, we recognize and we realize that here we are, 4,000 years later, and you and I and all through the generations for the last 4,000 years after the story, we all still know that Ephron was stingy. Long after the money that he received from Ma'aretz HaMachpelah was spent, and the things that he bought with that money are long gone in history, there's one thing that remains. Ephron was stingy. Ephron was a person who said a lot and did nothing. But it's more than that, because it's a lesson for you and me. When I act in a stingy manner, it's not necessarily written in the Torah, because I'm not written in the Torah, but it's written in my book of eternity. And it's an action that I will have to live with forever and ever. Perhaps because of the decision that I made, whatever it was, I set off a domino effect of other actions which can have major consequences which I can't even begin to fathom. And of course, whatever works in the negative works even more in the positive. Somebody says a good word, which has exponential benefits because it makes someone else feel good, and now she'll make a better decision, which will once again lead to eternal differences that last forever and ever. So, again, the very little side point in our parsha, which teaches us an important, monumental, and eternal lesson. Tzor is in the third place because of an action that he did, because he was mafkir his daughter. And that action set off reactions, and those reactions is something that, again, we'll pay attention to in the parsha now that Tzor is mentioned third. It comes in a couple of weeks from now that Tzor is third, but hopefully what we will start paying attention to is our role in history and what eternity means, and that far more significant than any little reward or punishment that I can get in this world is the knowledge that the things that I do, the midos that I have, the interactions that I have, the decisions that I make, they're being written somewhere, and that somewhere is eternal, and eternity means forever, and it's very, very powerful and very, very meaningful.